A reading from Matthew, the 6th chapter. Jesus said, "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses." This is the word of the Lord. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. The Ten Commandments. You shall have no other gods.
You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house.
The Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, the only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven.
The Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
The Small Catechism, page 324 in your hymnals. What is the fifth petition of the Lord's Prayer?
Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
What does this mean? What is the sixth petition?
And lead us not into temptation.
What does this mean?
God tempts no one. We pray in his petition.
What is the seventh petition? What does this mean?
Today we are between Ash Wednesday, a day of repentance, and the first Sunday in Lent, when we will see how our Lord fasted and resisted intense temptation by the devil in the wilderness. He did so with the Word of God and with prayer. So it is very fitting that we conclude the sermon series on the Lord's Prayer with the final three petitions. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I'll never forget the eye-opening conversation I had with a well-known and seasoned leader of the Missouri Synod that occurred back when I was a very young and inexperienced pastor. He was describing himself and he said, "It is in my nature to trust people. As a churchman, I trust the people that I work with. But even in the church, people will stab you in the back. It's happened to me more than once. And believe me, when somebody stabs me in the back, they will only do it once." I didn't know whether he was giving me advice or a warning, but he was very emotional about it. Jesus teaches us in the fifth petition that when we ask God for the gift of forgiveness, it is also necessary to extend this gift of forgiveness to others. And this can be very difficult, especially when we have been grievously and repeatedly sinned against. In this petition, we pray that the Holy Spirit would fill our hearts and our minds with the attitude of Christ, who suffered on the cross to forgive our sins. When we bear the wounds inflicted upon us by others, when we suffer the pain, the humiliation, and we do so without demanding justice or seeking revenge, but rather to respond with love and compassion, we learn a little bit of the depth and meaning of the atoning sacrifice of the uncomplaining Lamb, the Lamb of God on the cross. So we ask the Father for the Holy Spirit to fill us with his divine understanding, love, and compassion. And Jesus answers us, "How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Have you ever prayed the Lord's Prayer without thinking? In some ways, it's more difficult to know what to think when you're praying the Lord's Prayer, particularly the sixth petition. "And lead us not into temptation." As a child, I didn't quite know what to make of this petition. And even consulting with the small catechism, as I remember doing once, it didn't really clear it up for me. "Lead us not into temptation." What does this mean? Luther says, "God tempts no one." And I thought, well, then why am I praying this petition? Some Bible commentaries are helpful in that they show that the sixth and seventh petitions should be considered together as one petition, which incorporate a rhetorical device known as dialectical negation. And I'm confident that it will strengthen the faith and the biblical understanding of our children if the next time I teach catechism class, I bring up the word dialectical negation. And maybe they won't ask the questions that I asked as a child. But actually, this approach was used by one Old Testament exegete who has fairly impressive credentials. His name was Martin Luther. He was an expert in biblical languages. He taught theology at the university, but he also spent hours praying the Psalms and in the confessional chair, the Beichtstuhl, as confessor, father confessor, and as penitent. So he knew firsthand how temptations of the flesh, the world, and the devil could wreak havoc on the faith and lives of God's people, including his own. So he urges others to face temptation by taking refuge in the Lord's Prayer. So what should we be thinking when we say the fifth and sixth petitions? Luther's explanation is theologically sophisticated, and yet just simple and comforting and helpful. In the Large Catechism, he says, "This then is leading us not into temptation. When God gives us power and strength to resist, even though the tribulation is not removed or ended, for no one can escape temptations and allurements as long as we live in the flesh and have the devil prowling around us." And then in a little booklet, he wrote on how the head of the family is to teach the Lord's Prayer to the household, also known as the Small Catechism. Again, he puts it very clearly and simply. "And lead us not into temptation. What does this mean? God tempts no one. But we pray in this petition that God would guard and keep us so that the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh may not deceive us or mislead us into false belief, despair, or other great shame and vice. And although we may be attacked by them, we may finally prevail and gain the victory." The prayer, "Lead us not into temptation, but," Allah, "however, on the contrary, deliver us from evil," can be compared in some sense to a dramatic scene from a war movie. Seems like every war movie, good war movie, has to have one of these scenes. But the commander brings the troops, lines them up, and says that they're going to enter a battle against overwhelming odds. They're going up against a cruel, heartless, seemingly invincible enemy. And of course, no one in his right mind wants to go into this mission. So the men ask, "Well, isn't there another way? Can't the generals up above come up with another option?" Someone has to go plead with them. Plead with them, "Lead us not into this battle." Nevertheless, the soldiers all tell their respected and beloved commander, "If you go, we'll go with you." Lent takes us through the passion narrative of our Lord Jesus and his disciples. Their initial prayer was, "Lead us into temptation. We're up to it. We'll go with you, Jesus, and we'll fight with you." But they weren't even able to stay awake, watch, and pray. And then they denied and betrayed and abandoned Jesus. So Jesus went it alone, and he was victorious over the onslaught of temptation and death. And then he came back. He came back to his disheartened disciples as they huddled in guilt and shame and fear behind closed doors, locked doors. And he spoke peace into their ears and into their hearts. And fear was replaced with the forgiveness of sins and joy. And he does the same with us. We ask the Father not to lead us into temptation. So what does he do? He sends his Son. His Son was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness and was tempted by Satan, who was successful with the first Adam, but not with our Jesus. We ask the Father not to lead us into temptation. Nevertheless, we add, "Thy will be done." And then we go forward with Jesus, who overcame temptations, and he will deliver us from evil and the evil one. He will help us to resist sin. And when we fall, he will forgive us our trespasses. And we will forgive others. Last Sunday, we celebrated the glorious transfiguration of our Lord. And next Sunday is the first Sunday in Lent, when we will go with Jesus on his 40 days of fasting and temptation in the wilderness. I don't particularly like Lent. I prefer Christmas, Transfiguration, Easter, the Ascension. Well, we may not like Lent, but we need it. It's a time for God's word, prayer, repentance, and holy absolution. And it prepares us for the inescapable temptations that will afflict us every day of our life. And it will prepare us for a blessed end with Jesus, and a glorious entrance into heavenly bliss where sin and temptation ceases forever. Thank God for Lent. And thank you, Lord, for teaching us your prayer, the prayer in which we take refuge. In the name of Jesus.